Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots to talk about this hour, and we invite you to call us 888-302-3684. That's our number. You can start dialing. Among the stories we're going to tackle, you know, we know that the bacteria inside us have a lot to do with whether we're going to be sick or well. We are also beginning to understand they have an effect on our metabolism. In fact, the bacteria that are present in our guts may determine whether we are skinny or whether we are fat. And I'm going to share with you in just a few moments some research that suggests we may be well on our way to developing a weight loss probiotic. No, don't look for it yet. It's not yet available at drhoffman.com or at your local health food store, but it's on the drawing boards, and research is proceeding apace. 888-302-3684. Before we get to your phone calls, a big story in Science News, headline, Vitamin C could give chemo a boost. And this is actually one of the subjects of an article that I wrote a couple of weeks ago. Many of you saw it because it was in our newsletter. Go to drhoffman.com and sign up for the newsletter. And we've also placed it on our website. And it's 10 things that I got right 30 years ago when I first began to practice. I talk about some of the things that seemed outlandish, absolutely off the wall, when I began doing them in the beginning of my practice. This is now July 2014 marks the 30th year that I've been in practice. I've been in practice since July of 1984. And it was during those days they began doing things like chelation therapy and intravenous vitamin C. And we've seen the results of a big chelation study that suggests that it is indeed beneficial for victims of a heart attack. And now, one of my flagship therapies, intravenous vitamin C, is getting a big boost from new studies that suggest it may help anti-cancer drugs shrink tumors, that it may actually complement chemotherapy as a cancer treatment. This is very interesting because we've given intravenous vitamin C for decades to our patients at the Hoffman Center. Many holistic doctors are following suit across the United States, Canada, and throughout the world. And we're talking about high-dose vitamin C. Now, you may say, well, that's a fancy-schmancy way to give vitamin C. I'll just, you know, go to the store, I'll buy some vitamin C, and I'll take as much as I can. You know, like Linus Pauling said, I'll take it to bowel tolerance. I'll take, you know, as much as Linus Pauling took. He took 17,000 or 17 grams of vitamin C every day. And no, it doesn't really work that way because there's a limit to how much you can absorb via your intestinal tract. When you give it intravenously, the levels are much higher than you could obtain by taking it orally. In this study, well, they actually reference Linus Pauling. He reported that high doses of intravenous vitamin C given in addition to standard treatment to patients with advanced cancer seem to increase their survival time. But then they said, well, let's test that out. But instead, they tested it out orally. And I said, well, it doesn't work. The big Mayo Clinic study sought to demolish vitamin C as an adjunct to the treatment of cancer. It didn't work. They gave them the very worst patients, patients who were end stage, who failed to respond to chemo. They gave them 10 grams of oral vitamin C. No go. But new research now, this is 30 years later. In the new study, researchers implanted mice with ovarian cancer cells and later gave some mice chemotherapy and others chemo plus injected vitamin C. The tumors shrank substantially more in the mice getting the combination. Scientists report in a journal called Science Translational Medicine. Now, you may say, fine, you know, we've cured all kinds of diseases in mice. We make them live longer. We make them lose weight. We're curing cancer. They're walking again after spinal injury. But they're mice. What about people? The researchers also gave intravenous vitamin C to 13 women newly diagnosed with ovarian cancer that had spread to the abdominal cavity. That's the worst kind. It's metastatic. The levels of vitamin C that they obtained through intravenous administration of the vitamin C were 10 to 100 times higher than what is achieved with oral vitamin C, according to study co-author Chi Chen. He's a biochemist at the University of Kansas Medical Center in Kansas City, who works together with my good colleague, Dr. Jeannie Drisco. We did a podcast with her a couple of months ago on her research on intravenous vitamin C. She's a pioneer in this field. Those women, along with 12 who did not get the vitamin, also received chemo. So they got chemo. We're not saying that the vitamin C is the end-all and be-all of cancer, that, you know, that alone is the panacea. These folks with ovarian cancer got chemo. Well, here's what happened. Over 5 years, compared with women getting chemo alone, the vitamin C group had fewer mild or moderate side effects from the chemo, particularly digestive problems and skin irritation. So that's interesting. That improved quality of life, but you're going to say, okay, it didn't matter. They all died anyway. Didn't prolong life. Well, no. The median time to relapse in patients given vitamin C. Remember, in ovarian cancer, the name of the game is to prolong remission. It's very difficult once it's in the abdominal cavity to achieve a cure, but a nice substantial remission, that's a good thing. In those receiving vitamin C, the average time to relapse was 25 and a half months. In those who did not receive the vitamin C, the average time to relapse was 17 months. So 25 and a half versus 17, that's a significant difference that, you know, may well be due to the potent effects of very high dose vitamin C on cancer. According to Dr. Drisco, she writes, it's a safe, inexpensive way, and it seems to be working hand-in-hand with the chemotherapy. So, you know, congratulations to her for doing that pioneering research. It's done at Kansas University Medical School, and, you know, it's a viable option for patients with cancer, even if you're getting chemo. We have several patients under treatment at the Hoffman Center who are also receiving chemo at the same time. And some of these patients, I didn't think they were going to make it, you know, the first few weeks that I was supervising their treatment. They're hanging in there. They're doing well. They're responding to the additional intravenous vitamin C as part of their overall regimen. True complementary or integrative medicine, using the best of high tech and the best of natural therapy in battling cancer. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll talk to some of our listeners, 888-302-3684, plus that interesting story about a new probiotic that could help you lose weight. It's on the drawing board, hopefully soon to be made available to the general public. What an incredible breakthrough that would be. This is Intelligent Medicine.
So I'm here to tell you about an amazing new acne treatment that even Proactive says is better than Proactive. It's called Proactive Plus. It's totally new, totally advanced, and it even looks different. You know, millions of people have turned to Proactive, and it's the number one name in acne care. But Proactive Plus, it works faster and better than before. And it's better for your skin, too. Proactive Plus is their best, most effective solution ever. The plus means more. You get more medicine to heal blemishes and help prevent breakouts, plus more solutions to acne problems like dark marks, dryness, redness, and oil. So if your goal is a flawless complexion, call 1-800-867-2116. Be one of the first to try Proactive Plus 100% risk-free. Get fantastic results, or you pay nothing, guaranteed. All of today's callers will also get two free gifts with their 60-day risk-free trial. So the number is 1-800-867-2116. 1-800-867-2116.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Let's get to callers. 888-302-3684 is our number. By the way, if you don't have time to call us today, or if you can't get through, radioprogram@AOL.com is a way that you can pose your question. And we won't answer every question. We can't possibly do that. But we will select your question, if appropriate, and read it and answer it on our weekly Q&A with Layla. Q&A with Layla is a weekly feature that we do where we answer listener questions. And you can check it out at
drhoffman.com. There's a whole potpourri of questions every week posted on our website at drhoffman.com. All right, let's talk to Anne in Brooklyn, New York.
Hi.
My favorite borough, Brooklyn.
Thank you.
Are you a hipster, Anne? Are you a hipster?
No.
No? Okay.
I've heard you talk about postmenopausal people. Some of us get thin and lose muscle tone, sarcopenia.
Right.
And
yes.
You've recommended under doctor supervision DHEA and leucine.
Correct.
And I wanted to know if...
And leucine, you're very good. L-E-U-C-I-N-E. Leucine is an amino acid that actually seems to have some sparing effects against sarcopenia, according to some studies. So that would be a good thing to consider. So you're an astute listener to this program, for sure.
Well, thank you. But my question is, since I'm postmenopausal quite a while, the fibroids I had, of course, have shrunken into oblivion. And I want to know if even under a doctor's supervision, if there's any side effects like fibroids coming back or any other side effects of DHEA.
Well, that is a good question, because DHEA does have a hormonal effect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why I encourage people to get a doctor's supervision when they're taking it, because DHEA will be shunted into production of testosterone, particularly in men, and to some extent testosterone and estrogen in women. And if you had a recent bout with breast cancer, and if it's inadvisable to have estrogen levels, you may want to avoid DHEA. Also, if you have fibroids that are large, maybe you've just gone through menopause and you're hoping your fibroids will shrink, maybe DHEA isn't such a good idea because it's estrogenic. But in your case, I doubt if that's a problem, because you know you're several years past menopause. The fibroids have shrunk to the point where they're undetectable, and the estrogenic effects of DHEA are fairly minimal. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you're going to get like an explosion of your fibroids from taking a little bit of DHEA, 5 or 10 or maybe even 20 milligrams as a woman. Men, generally, I dose them 25 or 50, or if they're exceptionally deficient or they have a serious health problem, maybe 100. But there's a safe way to do this, and there's not so safe way to do it. But correspondingly, men who've got borderline PSAs, or they have had prostate cancer recently, maybe DHEA isn't such a good idea to take, because despite its advantages, it does have a hormonal effect, and we'd rather be safe than sorry, right?
Okay. Does it cause bleeding or anything else?
Well, theoretically, it could. It could reawaken the endometrium, mm-hmm. But that's very unlikely. I don't think I've ever, in 30 years of practice, and 25 of which I prescribed DHEA, I've not seen a case of abnormal uterine bleeding due to that. Mm-hmm. And if it were to occur, it may or may not be attributable to the DHEA. Mm-hmm. So sometimes women postmenopausally do get some breakthrough bleeding. That needs to be checked out, because it could be a sign of the onset of uterine cancer. Most often mm-hmm. not. But then you get a uterine biopsy. You might get mm-hmm. a DNC, certainly a pelvic ultrasound. And then you can see what's going on inside.
And the leucine has no... bad side effects.
The leucine should not have any side effects.
Okay.
No, it should be fine. Maybe 500 milligrams, or three a day should have a good effect, and that should help you. And by the way, we've written an article in our newsletter about underweight. It's actually our first in our clinical focus series, where we're going through various medical syndromes. And that was about, must have been 4 or 5 weeks ago, where we talk about one of our Hoffman Center employees who went from Wraith to Warrior. She's Grimaldi, who runs our vitamin department, and she was happy to participate in a feature with us because she's proud of what she's achieved. She went from weak and underweight. She thinks she was like 74 pounds. She gained 22 pounds of healthy weight, up to 96 pounds. She's on a very slender frame, and she's on the short side. She's sort of bantamweight, but she's performed in a Spartan race. After cleaning up her diet, taking the right supplements, getting gluten out of her life, mm-hmm. These are some of the things that can help
if
you're having malabsorption. Yeah, some malabsorption could be a problem, too. There's a variety. We go through all the reasons in our podcast about, why people fail to gain weight. It's a big problem. Overweight, mm-hmm. A lot of people focused on, I got to lose weight. Some people with underweight, it's a tougher problem. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just a matter of restraint. It's like, what am I going to do to boost my weight, to build myself up? And DHEA is a possible solution. So great.
Thank you.
Sounds good. I wish you all the best. All right. Let's take a look at this item I promised to talk about. Therapeutic bacteria prevent obesity in mice, study finds. This is fascinating because for a long time, we recognized that the types of bacteria you have in your gut influence your risk for chronic diseases. So what about metabolism? Actually, there's some studies that suggest that the type of bacteria in your gut that determines whether you're more likely to get type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes, a metabolic disease associated with obesity. And it's fascinating. They're now doing fecal transplants only in very restricted cases for people who have very serious, debilitating, life-threatening diarrhea due to Clostridium difficile, a terrible infection that's hard to eradicate. And after antibiotics fail, they're eligible for fecal transplantation trials. It virtually works 100% of the time to restore normal bowel movements because it completes the flora in the intestine. It restores the balance to the intestinal flora. And you get a donated sample of stool, but one of the donor criteria, they want to select healthy individuals, individuals who are not at risk of infectious disease. They test them for hepatitis and whatnot. They also don't want to give you donated stool from an obese person because the belief is that that in turn could make you obese. So the flora, the microbiome, very important in determining your weight. Now they're well underway, and this is on the basis of a National Institutes of Health New Innovator Award that was awarded in 2007 to develop and test the idea for a probiotic that could help to reverse weight gain. They say a probiotic that prevents obesity could be on the horizon. The researchers are looking at a type of safe bacteria that normally colonizes the human gut. They selected E. coli Nissl 1917. Now, you may say, E. coli, that's a deadly bacteria. No, actually, most of the good bacteria in your intestine is E. coli, but the right kind, the healthy kind. And this is actually a probiotic that is used in Germany, but they modified it. You can't even go to Germany and get this. They modified it to produce a lipid compound called NAPE, N-A-P-E, which is normally synthesized in the small intestine in response to feeding. And when you produce more NAPE due to these NAPE-producing bacteria, it gives you a sense of satiety, and you end up losing weight. So needless to say, the investigators are currently working on strategies to address regulatory issues related to containing the bacteria. Okay? For example, by knocking out genes required for the bacteria to live outside the treated host. In other words, they don't want these bacteria. Like, there could be an epidemic. You could spread an epidemic of thinness if these bacteria were to survive outside the intestinal tract. That could be a problem. Everybody thin throughout the world? Maybe not such a good idea. So, a lot of considerations. This is not going to be available soon, but when it is, it may only be available via prescription. We'll follow the story very carefully. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
We all know that humans need probiotics, but your dog needs probiotics too. Some dogs have chronic digestive issues just like humans. Probiotics will aid digestion and help improve overall immune health. Hi, I'm Gail Pruitt, certified nutritionist and author of the Doggone Good Cookbook. I do nutritional research for both humans and canines, focusing primarily on digestive issues. So whether your dog has chronic digestive issues or just the occasional upset, I recommend that you give your dog a daily probiotic to balance your dog's gut flora. You know, eating right and taking the right supplements are so important for your good health and for your best friends. And the best probiotics I've found is Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. So make sure the nutrients you and your dog eat are providing the maximum benefits. And always share your Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Your dog will love you for it.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
drhoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. In a moment, I'll tell you about a new smartphone app that tracks how gut bacteria may affect your health. Killer app, sounds like. All right, let's talk to Zivon. How you doing?
Good, doctor. Long-time listener. And
thank you
for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for hanging in there. I know it was a long time.
That's okay. It's worth it. Question, I have a partial rotator cuff tear.
Yeah.
About 50% on the supraspinatus.
Yeah.
And my question is, I'm doing therapy. I'm 56. Does this tear heal? And second, presently, what nutritional supplementation may I be taking now and possibly post-surgery if I decide to do surgery?
Okay, so with rotator cuff problems, I mean, we talked in our first hour, and you didn't hear it possibly
I did.
Oh, you did hear? Okay, great. Yeah, in our first hour, we talked to a lady who's having a shoulder replacement, and that's because not only are all the muscles shot around the shoulder, the muscles around the shoulder are extraordinarily complex. They're called a rotator cuff, and it's a complex of muscles. If you want to have an idea what that looks like, there's a great exhibition. The Body's exhibition now at Discovery Health, which is on Times Square on 44th Street. I went there the other day to sort of review my anatomy, and they have these remarkable they were people, and they're beautifully dissected and displayed in a way that you can see each and every single muscle, and the shoulder has it's an exquisitely complex mechanism that when you look at it, you wonder why anybody actually has proper shoulder function, because it's so complex and the muscles are so sinuous and tiny. And as a result of life and wear and tear and maybe deconditioning and maybe doing inappropriate things, lifting too much, we tear and damage these muscles. So a supraspinatus tear is a common type of problem. Unlike a shoulder replacement, it's actually a fairly easy fix. And it's just a matter of, literally kind of like stapling the supraspinatus muscle, reattaching it to the, I think it's going to be to the acromion or the scapula. I'm not sure where, because I'm not an orthopedic surgeon. So that is something that you can regain a lot of function from. You got to check out the physical therapy, see how far you can go. If it's not satisfactory, then you can go for the surgery. You sound like a pretty young, active guy. Don't get your hopes up too much that you're going to have a terrific 90-mile-an-hour, 100-mile-an-hour serve, or that you're going to get back into fast-pitch baseball. But you're going to have function. You're going to be able to lift without pain. Mostly it's about pain, but it's also about mobility. In terms of healing from this, it's not such a big deal surgery. Where you go deep into the abdomen or where you're doing heart surgery. But what the repair relies upon are several vitamins, zinc and vitamin C. Those are key in terms of repair. But also what I recommend after this type of surgery is something called Wobenzyme. Wobenzyme is a proteolytic enzyme that helps to reduce swelling and combat the accumulation of crud that causes scarring and causes post-surgical complications. And it's used a lot in Europe. It's used now by a lot of over here by cosmetic surgeons, plastic surgeons. And it's something that you take away from meals. You take three or four, three times daily between meals. And that's, you can begin taking it a few days before surgery. You can take it for, a week or 10 days after surgery. It will help to facilitate recovery. I personally, when I see that my patients are about to undertake surgery, I recommend intravenous vitamin C, because higher doses of the vitamin C can get into the tissue more deeply.
Right.
We throw some minerals in there to help with the repair. But you can, I think, for this type of minor surgery, I think you'll do fine. I'd recommend that probably you curtail your use of fish oil for, 10 days or so before the surgery to prevent excess bleeding.
Right.
And then you can resume right after.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think you should
do
well.
You hit it on the head. I mean, you gave me everything I needed to know, and perfect. I'll make the decision. I am doing therapy. And,
yeah, you've got to go through it.
I still have limited.
Yeah, so then, maybe you're at the end of the line with the therapy. It's in the hands of a good surgeon, you can get substantial repair, good quality of life. You sound like a young guy and you want high function. So go for it. All right?
Appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Let's take a break at this time. And when we return, we're going to talk a little bit about, sounds kind of icky, a smartphone that tracks your gut bacteria. How can that possibly work? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why Kyolic? Well, all the numbers add up for your health. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement for heart health available on the market today. For over 40 years, Kyolic has been the leading garlic supplement in America. Kyolic is 50 times richer than raw garlic in active beneficial compounds. Kyolic is organically grown and aged for 20 months to enhance its nutritional value, creating beneficial compounds not found in fresh or powdered garlic, but only in aged garlic extract from our farms in California. For maximum purity. Over 750 scientific studies at major universities such as Brown, Cornell, and UCLA prove that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is working to enhance your body's immune function, protect your cells from free radical damage, and reduce the widest range of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Call today at 1-800-421-2998 for your free sample of Kyolic.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. You know, health apps are going to be really big in the next few years. Google is investing billions in developing all kinds of health apps, which will tell you everything from your blood pressure to your cholesterol levels. There's even a new app that is going to be able to measure your cortisol levels. So if you're feeling stressed, you can use it's an attachment to your phone. You don't just breathe on your phone or something like that. You need a special attachment, a device attached to the phone, but it's going to actually be able to measure the level of cortisol in your saliva, so you can actually monitor it minute by minute, hour by hour, develop a curve, a pattern, study your health minutely. Same thing with Apple. They are really developing health apps, and this also will be in conjunction with the rollout of the iWatch, which is going to give you all kinds of real-time feedback. Maybe too much information for many of us. Better we shouldn't know, right? Headline, smartphone app tracks how gut bacteria affect health. And when I saw that headline, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. How in the heck is a smartphone going to monitor your gut bacteria? And no, I don't want to put my smartphone there, you know, where my where my gut bacteria are. One of the worst things in the world is when you drop your smartphone in the toilet. But this app will help you monitor. So actually, what's this about? A smartphone app used by two volunteers for 1 year to track their daily life has thrown interesting results, has shown interesting results about the composition of gut bacteria and its close relationship with health. Okay. They didn't use their smartphone to monitor the bacteria. They logged their daily activity, including diet, exercise, their bowel movements, and mood, and then they submitted regular stool and saliva samples separately. They didn't use the smartphone to check their stool and saliva. And researchers at MIT and Harvard correlated the data, like how you feeling. You feeling okay today? You sick? What's up in your life with what was happening with their stool?
And what they found was, and they're going to develop a lot of interesting information. They're going to compile over the in the future. This is going to be a big thing. Checking out the relationship between the bacteria in your intestinal tract and various disease states. They're going to do it. Google is going to spearhead this effort, and they're going to create a massive library of information, like the Human Genome Project, but it's the Human Microbiome Project. Well, what did have a significant effect on the microbiome were two life events. One subject moved abroad, and get this, when you change locations, you go to a different country, the contents of your intestinal tract adjust to the new environment. You start to reflect the microbiome of your environment. And another had a significant bout of food poisoning, which caused most pre-existing gut bacterial species to decline. In other words, reduced the diversity, the wonderful healthy ecology of their GI tract was reduced to a few remaining species. The trees and the vegetation were killed, in effect, and the weeds remained in this individual who had food poisoning. So this will help us understand the relationship between life events and how we feel and what our disease states are and the bacteria in our intestine. And there's no need to dip your phone in a place where it should never go. All right, let's talk to Dorothy. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman.
Hi.
My husband and I are in our late 70s. We take no medications. Only
great.
Vitamins and mineral supplements.
You know how exceptional that is? Two individuals.
Yes.
You must be the only two. No, actually.
Yes,
I'll
tell you, we're the only one of all our friends.
Yes.
And they have all kinds of side effects from all the medications.
Isn't it weird, when you get together with people and you talk about their medications, all the doctors they're going to, and you just kind of shrug your shoulders. And
that's all we hear. And they look at us like we're the weird ones.
You're like the, hippie freaks.
Incidentally, we've gone to hear you speak several times over the years, and our only complaint was we wish you had gone on for at least another hour. We enjoyed it so much.
There are actually many more hours, and they're accessible via drhoffman.com.
Okay.
You've got to get with the program because if you've got a mobile device or a computer, and I'm sure, while you're in your 70s, I know you're an astute person, and you know how to work a computer, go to drhoffman.com and download some of our podcasts, and you can get the first hour of our program. We'll post it on Monday.
Okay, yes, I do listen to the first hour on my computer.
Great, good
and,
for you.
Now, my question is, what substances are these supplements encapsulated in, and mm-hmm. what effect might they have on our, let's say, our digestive tracts or...
Okay.
Or, do they dissolve or anything? We take so many that
sure.
sometimes...
Sure. I mean, in effect, you're taking a lot of material. Physically, you're taking a lot of pills, and you're getting the nutrients, but you're also getting a lot of extraneous stuff. So what is that doing to you? Do you mean just, when you say encapsulated, are you talking just capsules, or do you want me to discuss tablets? Because there are two basic ways you can get stuff. You can get tablets, which are compressed, and they don't have a coating usually.
Right.
And then there's capsules, like fish oil is encapsulated, and other things are, powders within capsules. I guess you want me to talk about both?
Please, if you wouldn't mind. Okay. Uh-huh.
So, when it comes to capsules, you get two basic types of materials. You get gelatin. And gelatin is, it's derived from, animal hooves. That's where you get Knox gelatin, traditional gelatin. And Jell-O is made from that. And it's purified and, hopefully it's, a clean source.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's what you're getting. You're getting a lot of gelatin. I mean, women used to buy Knox gelatin to enhance their nail strength because it contains two amino acids, which are building blocks for collagen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not bad, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a contaminated source. And I think the best manufacturers really vet their sources so that they have, cleaner sources of collagen. Then you can get, if you don't like that, you can get what are called vegetarian capsules.
Mm-hmm.
And they're made from potato starch. And if you look at them, they're not perfectly clear. There's a little bit, they're sort of translucent. They're not completely transparent.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you know that they're potato starch. And potato starch just dissolves into a starch, and you're getting maybe a very, very small caloric workload from these very thin capsules.
Okay.
So that's on the capsule side. Then when it comes to tablets, well, you gotta, you know, you need to add filler to give the vitamin the proper bulk. So, for example,
right.
something that you're delivering that may have 100 milligrams of ingredients, you want to create a little more heft to the tablet.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to put in some, you know, maybe 100 milligrams of filler. And the fillers, well, they use microcrystalline cellulose in capsules to fill up the capsules. And they'll also use sometimes lactose, which is, you know, milk sugar. Usually it's small enough amounts so that people who are lactose intolerant don't have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
They'll use a little calcium, sometimes maltodextrin, which is a carbohydrate.
Okay.
Which is added to some vitamins as a filler and give them the proper bulk. And they'll use magnesium stearate or stearic acid to act as a lubricant so that they so that the powder flows freely and can be it helps the manufacturing. Also silicon dioxide, which is something that helps as a flow agent. So, or, you know, sometimes starch is added. That could be a problem for people who are gluten sensitive. I try to avoid products that have gluten in them. And there you have it. Mostly, I think, pretty innocuous compounds, although, you know, they do add a little bit of bulk to your daily intake. Mostly harmless. And, you know, and I take, you know, personally, I must take, 25 different tablets and capsules a day. And, you know, I've been doing that for 3 decades and it hasn't harmed me. So I think it'll be okay. All right. Thank you very much for calling. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Here's something I want to alert you to. It's a development on the political front that I think you all need to be apprised of. And we talk about it this week at drhoffman.com. I had a conversation with Tim Rhyme, who is Director of Communications and Outreach for a great organization that I happen to be a board member of, the Alliance for Natural Health. And its website is anh-usa.org. Check it out. And check out our podcast at drhoffman.com. It's about how the government wants to standardize all medical testing. A group of reform-minded progressive senators, including Ed Markey, Democrat from Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren, Democrat from Massachusetts, Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat from Connecticut, Sherrod Brown, a Democrat from Ohio, and Dick Durbin, who is the nemesis of the natural movement, want to regulate the tests that are available to the public on a federal level. It's already regulated, but they want more stringent regulations. That would mean that a lot of people getting specialized tests for Lyme disease, specialized allergy tests, tests for Candida, genetic testing. These tests would be restricted or outlawed. Testing for environmental toxins already outlawed in New York, but threatened to be outlawed across the country. This is not good for the future of medicine, which lies in innovative testing. These important tools really we rely upon as doctors, and you deserve as patients. So check out anh-usa.org and drhoffman.com. Thanks for joining us. This is Intelligent Medicine. Have a great weekend.